like to hurt people.
Woo!
Okay, now I want a foot fight. Understand? I want a fair fight and a foot fight. No biting, no hair pulling, and no hitting below the belt. And they got that fantasy.
We're here.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Turnbuckle Trash.
TNA is dead. TNA is dead. Dead, dead, dead. New owners, new management, which they bring along a brand new name. Impact Wrestling.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Pritchard, remember Bruce Pritchard? Brother Love, the manager of The Undertaker, right?
Oh,
Bruce Pritchard is Jim. Yeah,
okay.
Bruce Pritchard is now part of Impact. He's part of the new Impact management, and he gets out there and says that they are going to make Impact great.
Jeff Hardy and his brother are involved with lawsuits with him because they don't think that they have creative control over the characters, the Broken Matt.
Yeah, the Matt's wife, Rebe, you know, remember her?
Rebe
She's
Stein.
Been all
yeah.
over. Yeah, she is all over Twitter complaining about what the people at Impact are doing. She calls them the Owls because that's their symbol now is an owl. And who owns the intellectual property of the Broken Matt Hardy?
So TNA, it's Impact Wrestling now, they got a cease and desist letter from Lucha Underground. So they said it's the first episode ever to air with a blurred out referee, because that referee is also under contract with Lucha Underground. Lucha wanted them to stop the whole show, but I guess they were able to get around it by blurring out the referee.
I love Slammiversary. Happy Slammiversary. Dave, tell us what's going on in Slammiversary.
TNA has basically gone the way of everything else. They changed the name to Impact Wrestling, and now, the week before Slammiversary, they rebranded the whole thing again. And I think it's a good idea to rebrand and to just say, hey, we're completely different. It's now Global Force Wrestling, and Global Force, of course, was Jeff Jarrett's brainchild. The show on Pop TV still called Impact. But they had their Slammiversary event. One of the highlights of that included an NFL player. You don't like when they do this, do you?
No, I don't think he's that good. Steelers running back D'Angelo Williams in the ring, on the mat. And by the way, on Twitter, it was a joke. I mean, people were making fun of this guy.
Oh, really?
He got a lot of grief from it. Get his win, him and Moose.
Mm-hmm.
Defeat Ellie Drake and Chris Adonis. Think of it.
I saw highlights of it, and D'Angelo, like a typical athlete from another sport coming in, he had his opportunity to get in.
I did see the frog splash, by the way.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Took a couple of bumps from Eli Drake, and Chris Adonis got a couple of bumps in on him, too. But Moose did the most of the work. D'Angelo is a big fan of wrestling. He's always liked it, and he got the opportunity. More power to him, man.
Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park. With Abyss. Defeat Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner. This was a match that, if I remember right, took place all over the place.
Yeah, it's the two announcers, Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews. They've been feuding on, at the announcing table. And then Joseph Park got involved. Of course, he's also Abyss. That, when it says Joseph Park and Abyss, they're the same person. It's a convoluted mess, but Abyss came back into the match. He got the mask back, and then he brought in some thumbtacks and more. They did this the right way, because Josh Matthews, even though he is a trained wrestler, Jeremy Borash isn't. So they almost made it a comedy match. It was more comedy than anything. So it was the way to do it. They handled it very, very well.
Well, on ROH TV,
there's a new, well, he's been there for about a year, Punishment Martinez. There's, you know, he's a big, big guy, and he's got a great look. Well, he was going against the Punishment Martinez.
Okay.
Now, he's going on a one-on-one match with the Beer City Bruiser. Now, the Beer City Bruiser has a body not unlike Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Just, and his gimmick is he comes out, and he's carrying a half keg on his shoulder, smoking a cigar. He's a bad guy, the Beer City Bruiser. So they're having the match, and the match itself was good. Bruiser is one of those big guys that can really move. He does, you know, the rolling senton. He does all kinds of different moves that a guy his size you wouldn't expect to have. Well, they're getting ready for a spot where the Bruiser is on the floor, and Martinez does a spot that he does every match where he not only jumps over the top rope, he's jumping over the ring post, okay?
Ooh.
Now, if you know about professional wrestling, it's very important for the man on the floor to catch.
To catch him.
They're the one that really takes the bump. Well, for something didn't go right because the Bruiser either wasn't there or he undershot the move. Something did not go right. Martinez, in midair, tucks his head underneath and takes the brunt of falling. Now, he's on the ring. He's jumping over the ring ropes. So what would you say, 8 feet in the air? 8 to 9 feet in the air?
So.
And he gets his body in a position to where he's taking the brunt of this big fall right onto his shoulders and back.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, he took a nasty, nasty spill. So Colt Cabana is there doing commentary. You could obviously tell that Colt and the other commentators were kind of like, oh, what? All of a sudden, Colt Cabana says, he's still alive, folks. And Martinez gets up and kind of does almost a bow, just puts his arms up almost in Randy Orton style.
Oh.
It was scary looking how nasty that fall was.
But Cody Rhodes, is now their champion. And it's been kind of interesting to watch. If you watch ROH, you know what I'm talking about. Cody comes in as a member of the Bullet Club. The American Nightmare is what he calls himself. But now, after he wins the title belt from Christopher Daniels, the writing staff came up with a brilliant idea to have Christopher Daniels become the heel in the situation. And all he had to do was cut one promo where he started blaming the fans of ROH for his loss, and then Cody gets in. Listen to this, Juice. I think you'll appreciate this. He says about Christopher Daniels complaining about losing the belt that he had what they call in the business a boo-boo face.
Oh, no.
And the crowd starts chanting, boo-boo face, boo-boo.
No, yeah, that poor guy's going to be hearing that for a long, long time now.
Then I got to tell you this, in their 2 out of 3 rematch on ROH TV, it went two falls because at the end of the second fall, Christopher Daniels reach out and he touches Cody Rhodes. Well, he actually kicked him right in the man region.
He just got him in the ding-ding!
So that reminds me. So I've been watching. I told you I've been watching Glow on Netflix. It is definitely a not safe for work promotion. But at first I was like, I watched the first episode and I was like, I am not gonna finish this. This was so stupid. And then I was like, all right, I'll keep trying. And dude, it's pretty funny. So it just kind of reminds me of what you're saying. So they take one of the girls. She's going to be their star, and she has absolutely no wrestling knowledge or anything whatsoever, but she's pretty. So one of the girls, Brodus Clay is her brother on the show. She takes him to a wrestling match, and Alex Riley.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Riley's in it, and he plays something like John Steele or something like that. And so long story short, because I could go on for hours because it's pretty funny. So she's eating, she's watching wrestling, and all of a sudden she goes, and the girl's trying to explain to her, you know, he's mad at him because he took his wife and blah, 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 you know, going on. And she's like, I get it. She says, it's a soap opera.
Ah, this means something.
So it was pretty funny because I was like, she, and all of a sudden just clicks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but you know, that's one thing that I think Lucha Underground has set a little bit of a different tone for that whole storytelling, because their stories are pretty deep and pretty well thought out, I guess, played out. I don't know. How would you explain it?
When I was talking to Martin Casals, Marty the Moth, last year at the Salt Lake Comic Con, I was asking him basically, you know, what the difference is between Lucha Underground, which I love Lucha Underground, and the other wrestling promotions. And he said the approach is Lucha Underground is a TV show with wrestling. Mm-hmm. And the others are wrestling shows that have TV elements in it.
So I see.
The storytelling is in a different way. But that's the big difference, is the approach is, you know, they're looking at telling the story first, and then the wrestling comes involved with
the other.
Because they have all these really weird characters, the mask characters, the people with supposedly supernatural powers.
Well, and you know, another thing that's funny is they kill people off in Lucha Underground.
And this is where I was going to talk about Marty the Moth. The Moth is in the ring, and Melissa Sanchez is the ring announcer. And Marty is being his really strange self, you know, kind of like he's not all there, giggling. And he has a yellow lunchbox in the ring with him, and he takes out a sandwich and starts eating it during the ring introductions. Now, the yellow lunchbox has Aztec Pride on it. Mm-hmm. And as Melissa Sanchez is staring at him, because Marty has a thing for Melissa, all of a sudden Marty takes this sandwich and shoves it right into Melissa Sanchez's mouth. And the look that this woman gave him. So the day after seeing this, after it aired on the El Rey Network, and I am friends with Martin on Facebook, I sent him a message and told him how much I loved the segment and what he did with the lunchbox and with the sandwich. And I said, did Melissa know that you were going to do it? He said no, and that look was intense. So I told Marty I wanted one of the lunchboxes. He thinks he might try to market that. The match itself got really, really intense because it was Marty the Moth, and he was taking on Phoenix. Well, at the end, the sister Mariposa, that's Marty's sister in there, starts tearing at Phoenix's mask, and Marty takes out a fork and starts doing Abdullah the Butcher type stuff on this guy's forehead. Blood going everywhere, and the blood was starting to come out, Marty licked the fork with blood all over it.
Ooh.
And I said, what, the fork? But a really good segment, Lucha Underground, you need to watch.
If you remember a few years ago, Alberto was in the WWE, and then he left under not friendly terms, and then he comes back, and he leaves again under not friendly terms. He moves on to Lucha Underground last season, left them under not friendly terms, and now he's with Global Force, he's their champion, and he's been stripped of his title.
Oh, boy.
And it all stems from the incident that occurred at the Orlando airport, Juice, where there was domestic violence involved, involving Paige, his fiancée.
So Albert DeRio, and this is all thanks to Steel Real To Us. You can find him on Twitter at Steel Real To Us. He just released a statement on his Instagram account. It says the following, quote, our company, Impact, and I have come to an agreement that it's best for both parties if I be stripped from the championships. I came up with this suggestion just to show that Impact doesn't have favorites and everybody gets treated the same. Apologies to fans and my brothers and sisters in the company. Even though I came out all clear and there was no wrongdoing, it was still a scandal. So thanks for your support, and let's move forward more positively. One day I hope to be your champ again, end quote.
Let's just hope that the alleged violence did not occur and that it was just a misunderstanding. Well,
a wild, wild week in wrestling, hasn't it? Oh,
man, it has been crazy the last couple of weeks.
Crazy, actually. Few weeks, hasn't it?
It has been. There's just been all kinds of really strange things happening in the world of wrestling, including this whole thing with happened in AAA with Sexy Star and Rosemary, who's with Impact Wrestling. Now, I watched Sexy Star in Lucha Underground,
mm-hmm.
and I watched Rosemary on Impact, and to hear what happened at AAA promotion. In their big event, remember last year when Martin was involved with mm-hmm. the tag team? It's that same event. It's kind of like their version of WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, there was a four-way title match. Sexy Star was involved, and I can't remember who the other four-way of competitors were. But Sexy Star, for some reason, started doing a shoot. That's where they're actually trying to injure each other. And she had a problem in the ring with one of the other competitors. And then she got Rosemary into an arm bar and started cranking on it for real, injuring her arm.
Hmm.
And the internet just went crazy with that because it was a shoot. It wasn't part of the act. Rosemary even started getting involved with it. She tweeted out, she said, and I'm just going to say this, this might... this part isn't completely safe for work, she said in a statement. Let me make this perfectly clear. If you take liberties with somebody's body when they're giving it to you and trusting you to keep them safe, you are not tough. You are an asshole and don't belong in the business.
Ouch.
Yeah. And I mean, there have been wrestlers all over the world tweeting and Facebooking about this. This has been unreal.
So did they, has the formal investigation been launched to figure out why she did it?
Well, right after the event, Vampiro, who was involved with AAA and also Lucha Underground, he took Sexy Star backstage and made her apologize. Now, when you make somebody apologize, is it sincere? Sexy Star has come out and said, yeah, she is sorry about the situation, but there's never been any real explanation about why it happened. But Sexy Star, who earlier this year was rumored to be ready to leave professional wrestling to become a woman boxer or MMA fighter, I don't know. It's just a strange situation. But you know when I do, these guys and these ladies, when they put their bodies on the line and they have to trust who's across the ring from them.
Well, yeah, we've talked to multiple people, you know, local competitors, and they've talked about how important that was. You know, a friend of the show, Super Destroyer, you know, took a move wrong and almost ended his career.
Right. He broke his neck. He was forced to semi-retire for several years, and then he's back to performing now a little bit.
But he has to be very careful. Very,
there are certain moves he cannot do anymore and all that. So, and he... Immediately, when he was basically out of the woods, he immediately took to Facebook and said, and I can't remember the competitor he was against, he said it was not his fault. He took the blame himself because a lot of people were blaming the other guy in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Super D is a class individual live.
Hmm.
So, Lucha Underground. Now, you haven't watched season 3 yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
You're still on season 2?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. When you get into season 3, when they put that out, they're going to have something called the Cueto Cup. Dario Cueto, the owner, promoter.
Yeah.
And it's a tournament. And I wish they would do more of this kind of stuff in WWE. Do a tournament. The winner gets to go against the current champion, which happens to be John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, or now Johnny Impact, whatever you want to call him. But anyway, they had a great match with Pentagon Dark against Prince Puma. The match itself was a little bit on the average size, but Prince Puma did win. So now in Ultima Lucha 3, Puma is going to be taking on Johnny. Let's see. They call him Johnny Mundo in Lucha Underground. And because Johnny Mundo defended against Rey Mysterio the week before. So...
And Dominik, do you remember Dominik, Mysterio's son, when they did that bit with Eddie Guerrero in the WWE?
You were telling me, you've talked about it before. I can't place it off the top of my head.
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero was the heel at the time, and he was basically wanting to have Dominik be his son. Well, Dominik shows up in Lucha Underground. He's like 6'2".
Whoa.
He's huge. He's a big boy. And he gets involved and don't know whether he's going to be wrestling or be part of Lucha Underground in the future. But don't even know if Rey's going to be part of Lucha in the future because reportedly he's getting ready to sign with Impact.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But anyway, if you get to watch the Ultima Lucha 3, they said it's going to be 4 hours. I think they're going to do it over 1 hour a week for four weeks. It should be incredible. And our man Marty the Moth is going to be part of it.
Good for him.
Good for him. They've got a storyline here, and Marty plays a really creepy character.
Yeah, he's just like psycho, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really psycho. And the crowd at Lucha Underground, when he was introduced at the last time I was watching it, the last show, they started chanting "creepy bastard." It was
funny to see him on camera and then to meet him in real life.
Oh, he's one of the great guys, and he is so. And we talked about kayfabe with him one time, and he said it's kind of hard to be a heel right now if because people know that he's not really that way. So, but anyway, the crowd was into it. A very bloody match with a competitor. And I can't remember his name, but they're setting up a mask versus hair match with Phoenix. I don't know if you know who Phoenix is.
Yeah, I know who Phoenix
is. Phoenix is. Yeah. Phoenix is having a fling with Melissa Manchez. The ring announcer. And Marty kind of likes Melissa a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? But this guy with the mask, Marty beat him to a pulp. Blood everywhere. I mean, blood was spewing out of his head. And Phoenix comes in and challenges them to a mask versus hair match, and Marty starts just grabbing his hair and starts. He really plays that really creepy character so well. And Martin, I can't wait to see what you do with it. Marty, if you're listening to this, I want a lunchbox. He's got a yellow lunchbox that he carries sandwiches into the ring, and I want that lunchbox. So great stuff. Lucha Underground. A lot of rumors whether it's coming back for season four. I sure hope so. If it's not coming back to El Rey, somebody else, pick it up. Great show. Gets great publicity and is so popular with the Hispanic population and just wrestling fans in general. I think they're kind of filling that void that ECW had. You know, there's very little hardcore wrestling on TV anymore, and Lucha is getting pretty hardcore.
Is it still TNA?
Dude,
or is it?
I don't know. You know, 1 week it's TNA, the next day it's Global Impact, the next day it's Deep Earth, you know, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
The next week it's Ocean's 11. I mean, you never know what they're going to come up with next week.
With this company that owns Impact now, is it their fault that these problems are happening? Or is this ongoing and they've just kind of fell into this? Or...
I mean, and that's a great question too, by the way. Just because there's only so much the writers can do to be able to put talent, to put them in a good storyline, and from there it's like execution. So it's like a football game. The coaches will put a game plan together. They expect the players to go execute that game plan. If they don't, then I mean that's on the players. But if the players do execute the game plan and you still come out on the losing end, then that's on the coaches. So I think we're kind of in that mixture of 50-50 right now.
But if I understand things right, Anthem was really excited to buy TNA. Is it too early to say, let's just give up and move on? Or do we keep trying to polish this turd? I'm a professional wrestling fan. I'm not I like to see a good wrestling match. And so why do we have to have the star power?
The thing that got WCW most in trouble, and according to Paul White, also known as the Giant, also known as the Big Show, as the NWO was starting to kind of form its way in, and Eric Bischoff started taking control, all the higher superstars getting paid big, big money.
Guaranteed contracts and stuff.
Bingo. So paying that, to go to your question of do you need that big name high superstar? Yes. Because,
yes.
Look, it's I'm going to throw a football analogy in there, so bear with me. But the Patriots don't succeed without Tom Brady. They are 0-3 right now without Tom Brady. TNA will never succeed without a high-name superstar because none of those guys know how to carry a franchise.
And I want them to succeed. You know, I don't wish they would die because, let's be honest, nobody will ever – how many evers can I add to that – topple the WWE. And nobody will honestly ever compete on the exact same scale as them. It would be nice to have an alternative that you could turn to of good storylines and good wrestling matches and not 45-minute promos and PG crap.
When you get competition, everyone ups their game, right? So should there be competition? Yeah, absolutely. Problem is there's none, and you aren't getting it from TNA.
Quick Dave Denton rundown from what you took away from that conversation between me and Juice on.
Well, to be honest with you, the TNA, Impact, Global Force, whatever you want to call them, I know you guys talked about they're changing the name so much. That is one of the real problems. They can't get focused, and they need to just say, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, and this is not going to change no matter what, minus a lawsuit by somebody that they say they have to. Then they have to be more consistent with their product, get a better TV deal than Pop. They're starting to tie in with AAA a little bit out of Mexico and a couple other Lucha Underground, or not Lucha Underground, but Lucha promotions out of Mexico. That's the way they're going to stay pertinent and relevant, and they need to develop their own stars and notice when they have a star and keep him.
So will they ever compete with the WWE?
No.
No?
No.
Everyone, it's Dave Denton. We're at the Salt Lake Comic-Con with Turnbuckle Trash talking about professional wrestling. And this is a guy that I met, I think, at the first Comic-Con. He was actually wrestling at this event. He's the Super Destroyer. Thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash, man.
My brother, it's so good to see you again, baby. Yeah. How are you?
A couple of years ago, you had a really bad accident in the ring. And you broke your neck, and you thought your career was over. And then you contacted me on Facebook, and you said, man, I'm getting back in the ring. I want to know your feelings that first time you stepped through the rope, and you took a bump, and you said, man, I can do this now.
At first, it was pure and utter terror for fear that if I took another bump, it would break again. But, you know, in my gut, I thought, I can do this.
Yeah.
And the first bump was just pure elation. I smiled like an idiot for probably 20 minutes. I knew that I could take a bump. I felt good taking the bump. I felt good back in the ring. It's like coming back home again. My parents told me it's just a phase. You'll grow out of it. You'll get a real job and be, you know, a contributing member of society. And I contribute in my own special way in spandex and a mask.
Okay. Why, after the broken neck, why did you get back in the ring?
I hear that so many times. People ask me, what are you doing? You know, you've done everything you wanted to do. You've wrestled. You've been a champion. Why do it anymore? It's for the pure love of the game, baby. You just can't take it away. You can take the wrestling away from the business, but the business is always a part of that person. And I knew that I had to be involved. If it stops being fun, it's time to get out of business. And for me, it's still fun. I still smile like an idiot in the back and put my boots on and put my gear on. Finally put the mask on, it's just, you feel like you're indestructible. You really love what you do, it's always a part of your life.
The one and only, the Super Destroyer. Thanks for being with us on Turnbuckle Trash, man.
Thanks, baby. Always a pleasure.
The Young Bucks and Hangman Adam Page versus Billy Ray and the Briscoes. And at the very end, Jay Briscoe turns heel and turns on Billy Ray. And that's where reportedly, now I don't think this was a work because there's just been too much out about it, that the table went into Bully's face, Bubba Ray's face, and there's some sort of injury in his head or his face that doctors are saying that might be time to hang it up. Yes, Marty the Moth and Phoenix, mask versus hair, and what an incredible match it was. Back and forth, until Marty throws Phoenix into a ring post where he hits his head on a post, and then the blood starts to pour. I am not kidding you. blood was literally pouring out of Phoenix's head, a stream of blood pouring out of his head. Now, there was a point in the match where Mariposa, that's Marty's sister, a part of the Moth tribe, and she's down there on the floor, and Marty and Phoenix are fighting on the apron, where Phoenix gets up on the top turnbuckle and jumps off onto Marty and his sister Mariposa. Marty takes his sister and puts her in harm's way, and she takes the full brunt of the move by Phoenix. And then Mariposa, after she composes herself, teaches Marty the Moth how to count to two. Yes, she used one finger on each hand to count to two. One finger. Get it? Yes, the Moth got the bird. Then Marty goes over and grabs his trusty little lunchbox. And inside the yellow lunchbox with Aztec Pride on it, he pulls out a pair of scissors, goes over to Phoenix, and starts using it on Phoenix's head. At that time, Phoenix's girlfriend, Melissa, jumps on the ring. Marty has a thing for her. Marty is threatening to use the scissors on Phoenix's throat. At that point, Melissa says that she loves Marty and she'll go away with him. And Marty kind of goes over and grabs her by the hair and pulls her into the ring and starts being a little physical with her. And the next thing you know, Melissa's does her best Enzo Amore impression. She does her best Bobby Hill impression. She kicks that dude right in his mothballs. Yes, Marty the Moth got kicked right in his mothballs, or as Juice likes to call them,
kicking in the Wachobee.
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 So shortly after that, Phoenix makes a return, and Marty loses the match and now has to have his hair chopped off. Marty leaves like he's not going to let him cut his hair. As he's going towards the stairwell, there is Mariposa at the top saying, "Come on, my brother." And he gets to the top of the stairs, and she clocks him with a chair right in the head. Mariposa pulls out handcuffs and handcuffs Marty to both sides of the guardrails on the stairwell. And Melissa and Phoenix get their revenge by cutting the Marty the Moth's hair. Or hot dog.
They should have the burger match. Cheeseburger, cheese versus pickles versus mustard versus...
I know what they need to do.
Just put them in a bun cell.
They need to get Cheeseburger to come to Salt
Hell
Lake
in a
City.
Bun.
Hell in a bun.
Doing a music halftime show will be Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Give it away. Give it away.
Okay, you didn't get it. Just stop. Just... Oh, is there...
Red Hot Chili Peppers, I happen to like.
I doubt it.
Give it away, give it away, give it away. No.
I hope that Cheeseburger does get the flaming grilled win.
I hope he becomes a Burger King.
Oh, hey, nice. Yeah. I like that. His next match will be against Wendy.
Ah.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
You're getting hungry. Impact Wrestling, I mean Global Force, I mean whatever.
Yeah, TNA, whatever they're calling
themselves.
Severe
ties with Jeff Jarrett after he was unfortunately reported drunk at an event. Not good.
Oh, yeah.
If that was, I got to be careful how it, you know what, I'm not going to say it. I won't say it.
The big thing is, if it did happen, and if Jeff is having an alcohol drug issue of any type, or a substance, I don't want to say alcohol, substance abuse issue, the main thing is, reports are, he's in rehab.
Yeah, that's all.
And we just, and that, you know, that's the big word. That's all that matters. Whether you're a Jeff Jarrett fan or not, he's a human being, and we wish him the best. And his wife also has got to deal with all this stress.
Yep.
So it's not a good thing by any means. So anyway, the wrestlers that have recently left Impact, Global Force, whatever they're called now, the tag team, Reno Scum. Taryn Terrell left because she couldn't get into Canada because of some reason. Rockstar Spud no longer with them. Referee Robert King. Earl Hebner. Remember Earl Hebner?
Oh, man, I loved Earl.
And his son Brian are both gone from Impact
what?
Now. Yeah. They
no
released,
kidding.
They released Earl, and then Brian reportedly said, you know what, I would ask for my release. And he.
Why did Earl have to die?
Because he screwed Bret Hart in Canada.
Which was awesome, by the way. Still looking at that match was awesome.
It was his fault. ROH television continues to be very entertaining. I'm enjoying ROH. They have a tag team called War Machine. This past week, they're going to the ring when The Addiction, Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels attack them. The big melee. War Machine picks up Kazarian on his shoulder and tries to launch him into Christopher Daniels. And then Daniels moves. Now, I don't know if this was a work or if it was actual something that happened, but it was scary looking. Kazarian's head went right into someone that was beyond the barrier, a female, right head to head.
Oh.
And like I said, I'm not sure if it was a work or not, because they did have a big guy behind her to catch her. And then they show her holding her face, and it looked like blood was dripping out between her fingers.
Oh.
So I don't know. I looked it up online. I didn't see where it was a work. It makes me suspect it is, because The Addiction has worked it into a promo that they just recorded for next week's TV, I believe. So, but it was if it was a work, it was brilliant, very very realistic looking. The Briscoes 2 weeks ago attacked Bully Ray. Now we know Bully Ray was injured legit in Las Vegas at Death Before Dishonor. But the Briscoes, both brothers, actually attacked Bully Ray when he was talking about his retirement. Match for Bully, because Tommy Dreamer came out for the save, and they beat on Tommy also. And Velvet Sky, who is actually Bully Ray's girlfriend from TNA, she just recently retired, I believe. She was also in the ring covering up on Bully. So that was kind of fun. And then there's some other ROH news you need to know about. Dave Metzler, the famous wrestling writer, recently wrote that ROH could not fill a 10,000-seat arena, which made Cody Rhodes, the ROH champion, a little bit angry, and he accepted the challenge. And Rhodes and the Young Bucks reportedly are looking for an arena of 10,000 seats to hold an ROH event to take up the challenge of Dave Metzler. And they are also going to team up with ROH and hoping they can fill that arena with 10,000 people. That's going to be kind of interesting. A lot of people don't think ROH is a legit player, and I'm thinking they do. They've got some good stuff.